Let me welcome Dana Durnford, our special guest. Yeah. Hi, Dana. Welcome back to the program up there in BC. How are you? Dana, are you there? Okay, he's online. I think he can hear us.
He's been so far out of range. He must be really far up, and we got to applaud him.
Well, we had him on. I got a note from Brett that he was
there.
Yeah, there he is.
I mean, can you? Oh, there he is. Good, excellent.
Hi, Yoshi.
Hey there. Good to hear you. Missed you.
You too.
Yeah,
you're too, my friend.
Way out there, I assume. You must be way up there.
I'm at the very tip of Canada. Yeah, I'm about 30 miles from it right now. And we're actually regulating temperatures here by the warm oceans from Japan. Japan's, if you go to Massett's Wikipedia page, it says the temperature is regulated by the warm ocean currents from Japan year round. And so if you're going to find it up there, this is where that's the spot to go. It's right in the center of it all. Hey, did you guys have... Go ahead, Jeff, I'm sorry.
No, Dana, go, go.
Did you guys know that Canada has a new standard in their drinking water?
They raised the acceptable safe level again, did they?
Guidelines for Canadian drinking water qualities. And so what they done was, they changed the maximum acceptable concentration for natural and artificial radionuclides. And the artificial radionuclides, tritium, is now at 7 million becquerels a cubic meter. Unbelievable.
7 million a cubic meter?
A cubic meter is 7,000 becquerels a liter, 1,000 liters in a cubic meter. And so this, the emittance, they just poked it up on their site. They got strontium-90 at 5 becquerels a liter. That's 5,000 becquerels. That's 5,000 atoms in a cubic meter of water when you take a bath or your hot tub. Iodine-131, because there's an ongoing constant releases, is 6 becquerels. And, of course, you don't include all the other... iodine's daughters, like the 132, 133, and the 129 with a 50 million year half, like there's 31 times more of that. And cesium-137 now at 10,000 becquerels a cubic meter. So when you're getting a shower or a bathtub, folks, suck up those atoms, and they don't care about you. Don't tell the slaves. Just put it up on the site and allow media to refer to it.
And there's one word I can guarantee you does not appear anywhere in that report or any of those new... levels of safe exposure, and that is bioaccumulation. The other scientist, I don't know if you're listening in the beginning, but I've got this story up as well. Yoshi, the periodic chart is up under your name, so when we get to that, it's ready to go.
No hurry here. I'm interested in what's happening up there. Artificial radionuclides, that is like an admission. It's coming nuclear plant, massive amount. Now, that is an emission, you know, that this stuff doesn't occur in nature. It wouldn't even probably, most of those compounds that come out of a normal nuclear plant wouldn't be called specifically artificial radionuclides. But we're talking about absolutely new radioactive elements streaming across in the water. And they're not telling us what those elements are, you know, those artificial.
No, what they're saying, though, and what we are being able to fortunately understand and see in black and white, they put the robot into the containment in Reactor 1. The robot died 3 hours later, but not before it reported 10 sieverts an hour in there. And that no one's going to be able to get near that. It doesn't even look like a containment chamber anymore. There's no evidence of fuel rods. It's just a mess. And I'm telling you, folks.
That 10 millisieverts, and why the Canadian government is talking about artificial radionuclides is because there are more than a dozen artificial nucleotides that are created inside a reactor that are far more radioactive than even plutonium, okay?
Right.
More than plutonium, okay? There's more than a dozen of them, about 20 of them. And so this stuff is super dangerous. These are super heavy metals coming out of there. More dangerous than plutonium, and if the Canadian government is mentioning artificial radionuclides, they have an inkling this stuff is super deadly. You know, we're past the point of plutonium at this point, and that ten sieverts per hour is another indication that it's not corium we're talking about anymore. The entire pressure vessel, the reactor itself, has now been transformed into a super heavy metal emitter of radiation, you know, that makes plutonium look like Kool-Aid. Yeah, so so that's the bad news. And I think, you know, we're seeing that symmetry between the Canadian government's water safety report and then what that robot is looking at.
Okay, I mentioned earlier this top scientist, and I got to get this link fixed, but it's very important that you understand that one of the top scientists in the world, in fact, supposedly the number one nuclear scientist in America, is now saying that a very, very small amount of iodine-131, 30 billionths of a gram, is lethal. Now, this is, yeah, it's got a half-life of 30 days or something like that. Not the point. The point is it's constantly being released into the ocean, and it can get across the ocean in far less than 30 days, comes across in the air far less than 30 days. So iodine-131 is still very much a problem. That's what I believe I was exposed to for about 10 days. It hit me. And I got to tell you, I have a lot of energy. I like a lot of stamina. But I don't have what I did before that happened. I just don't. I don't know. Yochi, is your stamina down? It has to be.
Oh, yeah. I've been to Fukushima enough where, you know, it's not the same sort of robust person once was. Yeah.
No, I hate to say it. It's not an ego thing, but Dana's up there in it. He's got physical challenges from a diving accident to begin with. You know, I still work 10, 12, 14 hours a day, but I don't have the physical inner core strength I had.
It's just not there. It wears you out. It takes a toll. Just look at what happened to those dolphins, you know. It's happening to people on both sides, all around the Pacific right now.
Well, I thank God
I'm
able to.
Where Dana is also, you know, the interesting thing, he's so close to the ocean shore. It's, you know, when the water is just coming not very far, less than a day's distance. The water current. That's a good measure of what's happening in that 50th state of Alaska, 49th state of Alaska.
Right.
That situation pretty grim, I suppose. But, you know, I don't know. Dana, what have you seen up there that close, that far?
He may be off. We're getting a beep, beep. Oh, there. Are you there, Dana?
I'm here.
Okay.
Yep, I got you. I was on mute that time, and I was hearing the beep, beep.
Yeah.
And so you guys were getting a beep beep too.
Yeah, but you're there. Go ahead. Did you get hit? Did you get Yochi's question?
No, I didn't.
Okay,
what
Yochi,
was that last part?
You rephrase your question.
Yeah, you're so close. You're so close to Alaska. The conditions are basically essentially the same. I'm just wondering what you're finding up there in your far northern extension there. What are you
right.
coming up with? What are you seeing?
It's all gone, and we're down to around 22 species of algae out of the 600, and then just one species of starfish showing up. There was a couple of species, one or two of them, and scoured right at the very tip there the best you could. It really, you know, it's coming up to spring and everything, but the total of the charlottes, it's all gone, and, there is some here because it's off the coastline. And so there's a lot more water circulating around it, I guess, and moving the radiation back and forth, whereas on the mainland, it's running off the mountains and coming down to the coastline. And so it's really, you know, it's down to 1/110th of a 100th of a percent of what it should be there. And so it's definitely gone. There's no, but I mean, I'm still stunned by 7 million becquerels in a cubic meter of water of tritium since yesterday, and it's going to take me a couple of days. Hopefully I can get over this, but that is a huge blow. That's a 12-year half-life, and so like Yoshi was saying earlier, that if we got all these other elements, if we find one, we're going to find most of the other ones, and if we find a lot of some of them, then we're going to find a whole lot of all of them.
Keep in mind, folks, that Dana and Yoshi and I are not talking about people who live on the West Coast directly. We're talking about the people who live in North America, all over the country, all over Canada. It moves, it migrates through the air, jet stream, lower altitude wind currents. There's just nowhere to go.
And so they, when they put a 7,000 becquerels a liter.
I can't believe this. I mean, this is just unbelievable.
And if you look it up, of course, look up guidelines for Canadian drinking water quality, guideline technical document, radiological perimeters. Mm-hmm. And that's at their government official website. When you scroll down, the first one you're going to hit at the bottom of the index, just a little bit down the page, is the artificial radium nucleides on one side, and the natural ones on the other side. Now, the natural ones are only at 0.5 becquerels a liter, like radium and lead. And, you know, they're nothing in comparison of the artificial one. The artificial one just pummels the natural ones that they...
Okay, give us a quick comparison again. The natural one, 0.25, did you say? 0.50?
Point five. For radium, 226.
Okay.
Tritium, 7,000 becquerels a liter.
They want everybody to die. This is genocide.
This is a genocide, sir. Thank you. And strontium 90 is 5 becquerels a liter. That might not sound like a lot to a lot of people, but that's 5 atoms. Now, when you look at a bathtub or you look at drinking water every day or look at it in the cubic meter, which is what most of them do look at this at, that's 5,000 becquerels. Atoms, radioactive, long-lived atoms. But see, they say there's 10,000 becquerels in a cubic meter of cesium-137, which means there's actually 100 times more strontium-90, because that's how that works at the reactors, and we have the studies that prove that. And when you, once again, when you see iodine-131, they admit to that. They're not alluding to it. They actually got it up there now as a drinking water standard. They never bothered explaining it to anybody. They never bothered talking about it. They never told anybody when they made that change, and that was in the last 3 or 4 or 5 weeks, and because I've been on the site many times. And so this just showed up in the last couple of days, and I'm truly stunned, and I'm heartbroken, and I understand the significance of it in many, just too many ways. And I had been very angry for the last 24 hours about this, and consumed by the fact that we've never had a debate about this, and we have all kinds of academics and institutions, and we can go to work on solving some of the major issues for the water filtration systems for the community, for the aerations, for the farms, to try to kind of mitigate some of it. But to unmitigate it and allow us just to go ahead and consume this in 2 or 3 years, it's going to be total, utter chaos. There's no way around that, to consume that much radiation.
Well,
that's all bioaccumulated. It's
going to be boom time for the cancer industry, that's for damn sure.
In 2 years. Because we know from the animal studies it takes 5 or 6 years.
All right. Yoshi, go ahead. I got that. For those of you online, reload your page.
That is an indication of what's happening on the Alaskan coast. I mean, that's a major fishery, major center for marine mammals. All the people who take those ferry boats, you know, up to the Vancouver Channel, up to Alaska, between the islands and all that. Well, it's lucky you did that before, because you got to see a bit of biological archaeology there today, paleontology today, okay? It's all gone.
Yeah.
There's nothing else. Yes. So the numbers that Dana's talking about, those are underestimates. Again, whenever we measure water, it's usually worse than what we estimate.
Well, if you remember, one of the first things the Japanese government did, and we reported it to you here, was to raise the so-called safe levels of exposure to dozens of radionuclides, most of them are artificial, which only come from a meltdown. So the public could say, well, I'm still, these are safe. Then they did it over here. And this government actually surpassed the outrageous elevation that the Japanese government gave their people. One of the elements in drinking water here was raised 27,000 times higher. I've forgotten which one it was. 27,000. So they don't look, folks, they're not going to hold a news conference and ever be honest.
Pre-Fukushima, it was 5 becquerels a liter. Now it's 7,000 becquerels a liter for tritium. Yeah. So we know what the numbers were pre-Fukushima, and now they got it up to 7,000. So that's exactly what you're saying, Jeff, yes. But this is to me, unacceptable, and I'm not going to just sit here and take it. And they're definitely going to get blowback for this one until the end of time, because I'm not going to sit and take it. I want to take their pensions now and build prisons to hide them away, and I'm not going to sit and take it. I'm not going to sit here and see a genocide.
Folks, Dana, I agree. You know, I mean, these scientists, you know, what Joe Lewis said, you can run, but you can't hide. It's going to catch up with them,
right,
with their kids, with their colleagues. If they don't wake up, just look in the mirror and pull the trigger when you do that. I mean, because These people are so
out of
line,
so we can all enjoy it.
Going along with this nonsensical cover-up and not telling people the truth. The people deserve to know the truth. If their lives, the lives of their children, of everything they got, their domestic animals, everything around them is on the line. They have every right to know what that threat is. And the threat is right there. It is like building. It's building up every day. And we see no end in sight. We just see it getting worse. So, and everyone, you know, the standard thing for the media is things are getting better. I mean, things are not getting better. Look inside that reactor. Things are not getting better. Look at where you're at. There has been, things are deteriorating. It's getting worse. There are more and more compounds being generated and coming across by air, by sea. So, Dana, you're right. We cannot, just sit by and hide in the hole. We're going to have to take these guys on and challenge them. Just challenge them that they're a pack of liars. They got to face the facts. That's all. They've got to face the facts themselves.
Well, we got this, what's his name? Jay Kearney? I can't remember his name.
Jay Kearney. I like that one. Jay Collins.
Yeah.
From the University of Victoria, British Columbia, Canada, a sitting professor, a tenured professor.
Yeah, well, it's just like UC Berkeley, Dr. Kai Vetter. None of these people are above, and I'm not saying that they did, so don't sue me. None of these people are above the mechanisms of control, and that includes everything from threats, everything.
They still have to drink water, right?
Yeah. Well, you'd think so. Unless they're having it flown in from France.
Drink water, and that fact is not going to get away. They're not going to get away from that fact. And
if you have a folks, here's another thing, gentlemen. I would recommend, because of the ongoing war to take control of our water, most of which is surface water, that anyone who has the ability, has land, who can drill a well, if you don't have one. Get your water from a couple hundred feet deep. You're safe that way. The aquifers aren't destroyed yet. Most of it's surface water. So, and if you have a garden, cover it, for God's sakes, with a greenhouse. Put plastic over the top of it. Try to use well water. If you have to go buy it from a neighbor who's got a well, do it. You don't have to water your stuff every single day. You've got to think logically. And the bioaccumulation is the single most important fact of this whole process that no one will talk about. All right. Yochi, I've got the periodic table up. Everybody can go to it under Yochi's name.
Okay.
And guests at Rent. So what do you want to do?
What is happening in that reactor? First of all, we see that sort of a grid, right, below the machine there, below the robot. And that is the core plate. That's the bottom of the core, basically the floor of the core. And if anything happens to leak out, it would leak out there. And there's nothing above the core plate except a few blackened blocks of metal and a lot of sort of yellow ooze on that on that screen there, okay? So what is that all about? Well, first of all, when a meltdown occurs, the rods are sort of like melt and break off and fall down below that into the bottom of the pressure chamber, burn through there and go into the drywall. And then if it succeeds in burning through the metal of the drywall and then through the concrete, it's home free. It's in the earth, okay? Now, what happens is before that happens, to prevent the fuel rod from melting down or to slow down that meltdown, the boron control rod. Boron is a metal that absorbs neutrons. It'll help block the neutrons so that you don't get this chain reaction between the uranium and plutonium. Oh, in this case, it's uranium fuel rod.
Let me hold on a sec. For all of you who are listening and want to see what Yochi is talking about, look in the Fukushima updates at the top center column, third story, dead robot reported 10 sieverts an hour in reactor 1 video. Load that page and you will see a picture of what he just described with this yellowy crappy stuff on what looks like a grid, a grate at the bottom of the picture. Okay, go ahead, Yochi.
Yeah, and then we see that lump of black metal there, a couple of lumps. What that is, that's melted boron. In other words, it was so hot so fast that the boron rods, as they melted down into puddles of metal, and some of them were left on top of this grid, okay? And you see it's burnt to a crisp on the outside, which means that it was so, these lumps were so bombarded by neutrons that the boron just basically were coated with radioactive boron, okay? The boron was so bombarded, it became radioactive itself on the surface, and therefore, boron inside those blocks cannot absorb any more neutrons from the
fuel rods.
From the fuel rods. So,
yeah.
So basically, we got a piece of evidence there. The yellow stuff, very questionable, because uranium, pure uranium is yellow, but we're not seeing much pure uranium. The stuff is transforming into other decay materials very rapidly under that kind of situation, intense situation. Probably radioactive sulfur is probably what that is. You know, it's amazing how under neutron bombardment, nearly any element could come be overloaded with neutrons and even with protons to become more and more radioactive, okay? Mm-hmm. So what we're seeing here is a whole progression toward larger and larger. You know, what's happening, we're growing atoms, we're growing nucleuses of atoms, of elements, okay? They're getting bigger and bigger from the neutron bombardment. And also proton bombards. As neutrons displace protons, protons will bombard. And so we're getting 1,000 radioactive compounds. Now, where they're really centered is on what's called the seventh period. It's, you know, the periodic table is sort of one block. It looks like two towers on either end. And then there's seven lines across.
Right.
And then below that are two separate lines, the lanthanide group and the actinide group, where it's treated separately.
At the bottom, yeah.
It can be very beyond super. Anyway, the seventh group, the seventh line, the bottom line of the main part of the periodic table is the seventh period, and those are super heavy metals. Many of them are artificial, made in reactors. That's what has been building up. Now, if you look toward the, and these metals are extremely radioactive. They're more radioactive than plutonium. And that would account for the massive 10 sievert levels we're looking at inside that reactor. Now, on the right side, you'll see these on the seventh, on that same seventh level there, the seventh row.
Look on the left side of the page. You'll see 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7.
On the right side.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, but they're numbered.
Seventh down. Seventh down. The horizontal bar.
Yeah.
On the far right side of that, you'll see the very U. That means unnamed. They're the ungroup, okay?
Uh-huh.
And very ironically, the first of the unnamed, and these are super radioactive compounds, heavy metals, were basically studied by RIKEN, the Japan Nuclear Institute. And the proposed names for those compounds are japonium, rikenium, and nishidium, after Nishida, a top Japanese. So there's kind of an irony that this was, a lot of Japanese research was concentrated in this super radioactive group, and now we're seeing these kind of compounds just like emitting out of reactor one, which is, again, one of the smaller reactors there. It's not reactor three. So massive amounts of super, and then this will continue down through the actinide group. Uranium and plutonium are being superseded by, you see plutonium down there, by americium, californium, berkelium, einsteinium, livermorium, and so on. We're creating massively radioactive compounds, some of them with long half-lives, some of them with short half-lives. So basically, the interior of that nuclear reactor, number one, is so radioactive from these new compounds that were created,
wow,
we do not need, you know, the plutonium, uranium, corium to explain anymore what's going on. The real problem here now is that the steel itself, the iron, manganese, cobalt, all these things that are inside the metal, besides iron, mm-hmm, of the pressure chamber, mm-hmm, that's all also evolving. So instead of a steel crystalline alloy, which gives that chamber so much strength, what we're getting is an amalgam of heavy metals, okay? Heavy metals, which are getting larger and larger and breaking apart the pressure chamber. Do you see what I'm saying?
I do.
The eye gets bigger and bigger and bigger. The internal pressure within that material is no longer bonded as an alloy. It's just like a brickwork of things that are growing. If you had a brick wall and some of those bricks were growing, eventually that wall would crumble. In other words, what I'm saying is the nuclear chemistry is showing that all those reactors are basically going to self-destruct. You know, the structurally, they're going to come apart internally from this whole process of neutron bombardment and the growth of these super heavy metals. So basically, we're not going to see a fragment or something. We're going to see basically the whole structure is coming apart, and everything inside is going to be released. Okay, that's inevitable at this point. That's just the nuclear chemistry of the thing. What happened to the corium? They said, well, you know, the Japanese scientists, their nuclear scientists, made some terrible statements. They said, well, we saw steam. The robot saw steam inside the chamber. Therefore, we assume the corium is still inside the chamber. No, if the corium had been there in that amount, there'd be you wouldn't be able to see very much at all. Okay? The steam would
be like fog. Yeah.
Yeah, most of the water has escaped, okay? It's just a residual amount or just a little bit of very light cloudy, you know, cloudiness, not dense fog, you know, that's left in there, which means where went the water went the corium. The corium has got to be, if anything is evidence of the corium, has escaped containment from the drywall, you know, containment structure. So, and it's probably in the ground already. So basically, because the corium escaped does not mean that these reactors are by any means safe. It's left behind this unheard of, you know, combination of radioactive metals that we have no idea. You know, these are things that are made in tiny little milligram quantities in vast nuclear reactions at research universities. This stuff is just free breeding out there, you know? It's just generating itself. And nothing stays the same. It is, you know, some of it's decaying, others are building up. We do not understand this process. They don't teach this stuff. You know, I had to learn some nuclear chemistry when I went to organic chemistry school. But there's no theory. I mean, there's nothing to explain this stuff. There's no experience with this stuff. We're talking about tiny little quantities that have been made before. We have, you know, vast amounts, unheard of, you know, immense power, far beyond the capacity of steel or concrete to hold. So the report from the robot, extremely alarming, okay, of what's going on.
You can see the pictures.
Far worse than we could ever imagine. Mm-hmm.
Far worse. You can see the pictures.
Yeah, far worse than we can imagine.
Look at the top in the Fukushima section. Dead robot reports 10 sieverts an hour in reactor 1. Video. Look there. There's video and there are still pictures. You can see what Yochi's talking about. You can pull up the periodic table and you could look right there. Line number 7 on the left, it goes 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. Simply walk across to the right side of it and you'll say, you'll come to the end. UUS, UUO. These are unnamed, extremely dense radioactive elements. So they don't even have names for them. Shimatsuvium, there's one. How's that?
Yeah, that's the one that's going to end the world if they ever come to that one. That's off the chart. That's still off the chart.
That is.
Now,
that
this is really alarming because these are uncontrolled nuclear chemical processes of which no scientist has anything but maybe just like grade level, you know, grade school level knowledge of what's going on. No one really knows how it's going to end. I'm making this prediction. It's just you make that analogy with a brick wall. Some of the bricks are getting bigger, yeah, and the wall's not going to hold. And when those reactors really shatter, watch out. This is I've all said this is a Pandora's box, and this is the heart of the Pandora's box that is Fukushima. A lot of monsters have come out before, but the biggest monsters we have yet to see. And unfortunately, I think, you know, the stuff is leaking. I mean, they're leaking from containment, but why would the Canadian government, because Canada, you know, has got a lot of uranium deposits. They have a lot of the CANDU nuclear reactors and all that. So they don't really bunch those with a lot of radio, you know, artificial radionucleotides. When they mention artificial radionucleotides, they're talking about these other things that are more powerful than plutonium. Okay? And it's already reaching Canada. Obviously.
It's there. Dana, yeah. Are you now? You're up at the tip of Canada, where it joins Alaska. Did I hear you right?
No, I'm at the top of the Queen Charlotte's.
Ah.
And that's an archipelago off the coastline. It's 350 kilometers long, and we're at the very northwest corner of Canada. So sometimes I'm not very clear.
No, that's good. I got it. Okay. So, I don't know how many pictures you've taken, how much video you have. But when are you going to start heading back down? Now, you were threatened the last time we talked. You were describing that, or the time before.
They physically put their hands on me. And there's been a change of plans because of the urgency, and I'm probably not going to make it back. I don't even want to think about it. The end of June, I guess, before I'll probably even get close to getting back. And the urgency is real, and, you know, to see 7 million becquerels in a cubic meter of water as a standard of tritium in Canada is...
Now, this is, folks, this is drinking household water. This is tap water he's talking about.
This is your tap water. So if you, when you get a bat, folks, or you got a hot tub, or you're getting a long shower, you're looking at 10,000 becquerels of cesium-137, that's man-made, 100%. You're looking at 6,000 becquerels of iodine-131, that's man-made. That's
good.
That's
God.
That's normal. You're looking at 5,000 becquerels at the same time of strontium-90 and 7 million becquerels of tritium. And all either one of these atoms, and each one of these are atoms. Think of a becquerel as an atom, folks. Each one of these can give you cancer in 2, 3, 4, 5, 6
can go
years,
right through your skin.
If you're consuming this constantly all the time, I'm going to recommend to people, don't get a shower every day. Don't, you know, start cutting back on stuff like that. Yeah, because you absorb so much water, and we really truly are. If we're going to extend our life, that's going to be one of the few ways you can help do it, is slow down the intake of this. And like you can sponge down. And so it's ludicrous that we're even talking about that. But it's ludicrous that we have these numbers in our drinking water,
in
our shower water, in our baby water, and we can't get away from it. That's what he's done to this. But this is not the real number, of course, like Jeff said earlier. And I just wanted to implore upon people to consider what I'm saying and look it up yourself at, look it up yourself at Canada's drinking water standards, guidelines for Canadian drinking water quality.
Well, our standards are every bit as insane. Please understand, in fact, tomorrow night, I'm going to have Dr. Michael Kuryak on, a Russian scientist who, with hundreds of technicians, after Chernobyl, was able to come up with this product, the four best algaes, which can help denature and reverse bioaccumulation. It can help prevent the actual damages from radioactivity by boosting your immune system to incredible heights. You've got to understand. Look at the top of my homepage. Look at the second banner. Jeff Rentz urges you to take action now to start protecting you and your loved ones from the bioaccumulative effects of Fukushima radiation. This is not a joke. Listen to Dr. Kuryak tomorrow night. This man saved God knows how many lives after Chernobyl. This product is not a joke. It's the only thing I know of that has been proven to have positive effects on people who have been exposed, all right? You should be, it's not expensive. You should be taking this every day, not strictly for the radiation, although that's plenty for me. That's why I take it. But you're going to get nutritional and total support for your immune system like nothing else I've been able to take. I do consider this the reason I am still functioning as well as I am, and I'm functioning pretty damn well. However, my inner core strength is not what it was. I can tell you that. Now, maybe over time it'll come back. It's been 4 years. But I was heavily dosed with, I think it was 131, for about 10 days. I could taste it. I could feel it. It was right in the back of my throat, in my sinuses. And thank God I was onto this early, or I don't know what would happen. I just don't know. That's why I put this up there. I want you to look at it and consider. Listen to Dr. Kuryak tomorrow night. And we'll follow up further with that. Dana, anything you want to add to what you've... Thank you so much for the... That was just an extremely eloquent display of what a government does when it doesn't care about its people.
Yeah, thank you, Jeff. I'd say goodnight and hugs for everybody.
And all right, you go rest.
Thank you for giving me the opportunity, everybody. And just remember, you know, what Yoshi's telling you, and has told you, Jeff is doing, is they're doing it for
well,
the right
whenever
reason,
you need a break, Dana,
reason.
We're down by the tropics. Dana, if you ever need a break, need the R&R, yeah. We're down here.
I'll be there
a couple of years
at a time, I'm pretty sure.
That we're around. And that stuff that Jeff talked about comes from this area. You know, it's towards the tropics, it's grown. So it's the last place to go, really, after Fukushima, you know. So
thank you.
Right. Okay, Dana.
Okay, my friend.
You take care.
Take care, Jeff. You too, yeah.